Greg Ruberg is with me. Greg is the CEO of Lakeview Clinic and Hospital, a regular on the radio station, big supporter of the radio in general and of our community. Thanks so much, Greg, for being with us this morning.
Welcome. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Well, it sounds like I don't think anyone would guess that it's been an easy year for anyone involved with Lakeview or any other medical care facility, Greg, but here we are at the end of the season or at the end of the year, and you have quite a few pieces of good development for us. Let's talk first about surgery resuming. Tell us what were the limitations and what has changed.
Yeah, I'd be happy to talk about this. I'm just very grateful that we're in the position that we're in at the end of December. And I was hoping we'd be here, but we've reached that accomplishment. As you recall, earlier this year, we had to pause our surgery and procedure department due to a number of factors. We had, you know, pandemic challenges, but most importantly, workforce challenges that we just couldn't staff all the areas that we needed to staff. And we made the hard decision to really focus on our core areas that we needed to stay open as a hospital and provide, you know, services like emergency room and inpatient care, et cetera. Back in about the middle of October, we did reopen surgery and procedures at Lakeview, and this is our outpatient day surgeries, of course, and we've been doing those since that time. And so we've hired additional nursing staff, we've hired some additional wonderful support staff, coordinators, and surge techs and others to help really build the foundation for growth in this area. So we've heard a lot of feedback from the community. During the pause, can you please bring this back? We like the close, convenient, and high-quality services right in our own community. And once it opened, we have people sharing their positive feedback about the service and asking when we can bring more services on. So it's been just a wonderful transition back into providing that for our community.
Yeah, and very counter to what we hear about that's always happening. So that's exciting. Tell us what are some of the most common surgeries, just so we have a sort of a feel of what we're talking about here, the kind of thing that has come back.
Yeah, I would say our highest volume of surgery and procedures would be gastro surgeries like colonoscopies and EGDs. You know, so a lot of the preventative type of procedure services. We also do a lot of diagnostic in those same areas. We're doing a lot of pain procedures. So we have two anesthesiologists that come to Lakeview and can do pain injections into, you know, for spinal conditions and other things like that. So that's really popular. We did a couple of days of cataracts, which has always been a sought-after service here as well. And then, in addition, we have general surgery. So we have a general surgeon from St. Luke's who does, you know, all the general surgery type of things. And that's one that started off a little bit with more of a soft start, but will be increasing in frequency here soon.
Okay. Is that what I know there's this project that you're rebidding. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, so when we reopened surgery and procedures now, it's in our current space that we've used for many years. And to support growth and to bring on new specialties in the future, we just need a more advanced space. So more room, more technology, and just a better patient flow. And so as you recall, in our original building project that opened back in 2020, the second level above what we call the expansion space, or kind of above the clinic area, is a shelled-in surgery center space. So it's right now it's basically shelled in, ready to be filled in. And so we did put that on pause during the pandemic, again, because almost all of our resources were going toward providing care to people in the ER and the inpatient units and the clinic and testing. And as you recall, there weren't beds for COVID patients. And so all of that stuff just created a lot of challenge for us. We decided to put the project on hold because it was elective procedures. And then we had the workforce challenges on top of that. And so all of that it was the right decision, but it was hard. And so now we're looking at those blueprints, which are basically done, but I've asked our surgery director and all of our new staff up there to take a fresh look at that with a new set of eyes to make sure that those blueprints are what we want, and then to make any modifications now use it with our architect team. So we're going through that kind of a review or a revisit of those plans, and then our plan is to work with our construction manager and bid that back out in the spring. So, you know, coming up in first quarter of 24, just to see what the price of that project would be now as compared to when we first bid it and when we bid it during the pandemic, when there were supply chain shortages and significant labor cost escalations and just a time of uncertainty. So we hope things have stabilized, that we can take another kind of fresh look at this and see if we proceed now or if we pause again. But time will tell here in the next 3 to 4 months.
All right. So lots of different things happening. It sounds like you're back on the up and up. And another sign of that is infusion therapy return. Tell us, like, first of all, a basic of what that is and what's being offered at Lakeview now.
Yeah, so infusion therapy is an area that we wanted to get into in terms of providing service to our community back with phase one of the project. So if you recall, in the new space between the hospital and clinic, we built a beautiful infusion clinic. And so what infusion is, there's a couple of different categories of infusions. I think most people think of the simple ones are blood transfusions. So people that need blood will come in and get blood administered. There's also infusion for things like rheumatology conditions, rheumatoid arthritis or lupus, or things that are kind of autoimmune diseases that you have a medication put in through an IV, and it might be a one-time thing. It might come back once or twice a week or once a month. And then the other one that I think most people think about is chemotherapy. And so some of the patients will need chemotherapy, you know, once a week or more often. And we want that. We did start providing that service here back during the pandemic, and that was part of our pause of outpatient as well due to workforce. So our right now with our we'll be fully staffed in that department next week. Our third and final nurse is starting, and we're beginning training now on all of the kind of complex training to support these type of treatments. So the benefit is we're going to have now dedicated staff that covers our outpatient services area at Lakeview. So this will be a core group of staff that cover procedures, surgery, and infusion, and then we'll have a separate group of dedicated nurses and staff that will provide service to inpatient and the emergency department and urgent care. And that was always the model we were trying to get to, but again, with the pandemic, it was kind of all hands on deck just to make sure we could provide service and support the community. So we're at that point now that we wanted to get to. It just took us a little longer to get there.
And it sounds like, I mean, I'm sure you still have workforce issues, but you really are filling the spots as needed. And does this reflect a larger easing of this crisis around the country, or are we just getting lucky for whatever reason?
Well, I think about that every day. We've been very, very fortunate. In the last, I would say the last maybe 6 weeks to 2 months is kind of the time frame I look at. We did hire our permanent director of nursing. We had an interim up until that point, and she did accept the permanent role in October. We just recently hired a really good nursing manager at Lakeview that will support the director. We hired a number of really high caliber RNs to join both our med-surg unit and our surgery department. We've hired OTs, other support staff, and so we've just been really fortunate to bring on really good people to a team that's solid already. And we're very careful who we bring on at Lakeview. We want the type of employee that fits the culture and meets the expectations of what we want to provide to our patients. And we've just been lucky to have a good team as a foundation, and we're bringing on additional people that are just like them, which is great. To your point, the workforce issues across the state and across the country are significant, and I don't think there's an easing in general. I just think we've been very fortunate. I think there's a slight improvement overall, but there's areas that we have a hard time staffing, and there's other areas across the state that they're closing services because they just cannot get people. And nursing homes are probably the best example. They're really struggling, but that's a whole different topic.
Yeah. Well, and there are many people going into nursing. I know older nurses too. I've got to believe that experience is really important with nursing, and you really do need nurses with certain just real high quality credentials to really run a program and to create culture, as you say. And it's just really neat to hear that you're having some success with that. I know that for a long time, transitory nurses, or I forget the name for them, but the sort of traveling nurses was sort of becoming the norm, and that was having good effects in the short run, but also creating other problems. Is that something that we do at Lakeview?
We did this year for really the first time ever, at least in the 10 years that I've been in this role. I mean, we've had, you know, a travel staff person, you know, kind of here and there, but it's been very rare pre-pandemic. During 23, we actually relied on a significant number of travel staff, mostly nursing, to get us through the challenges that we faced. And that was just, I think, unique to Lakeview. We just had not done that before. But what happened now, I think, is I can speak to Minnesota, across the state, it's a lot more expensive in general to have a travel nurse, and there's less stability, and it fill a need for sure, and they do a nice job with that. But we've seen some of the larger end, I guess all hospitals, really cut back because they just financially cannot afford it. I mean, the majority of hospitals in the state right now are losing money, and many are in financial crisis, and so you just simply can't afford to keep going further and further in the hole. So I think, you know, the hard decision I think some are making is we just can't provide the service because we can't afford to hire the more expensive staff. So there's kind of a double-edged sword, because when that happened, we needed a few travel nurses, and we were able to get really good ones to support us. But now we've had some really good success, as I mentioned, hiring nurses back, and we're getting close to being almost fully staffed again, which with you know, core stable nurses that are here for the long term. So, and that's better for patient care, and it's better for the team.
Yeah.
Again, but we appreciate what the travel nurses provided to us, because they were, we had some really good ones.
Yeah. Yep. And then I know, are the new staff having the same housing issues that we've been hearing about over the months, or is that crisis easing as well? I know that, you know, the real estate market is changing.
Yeah, I don't know that it's improved a whole lot. I don't know that it's gotten worse either. I think it's kind of the same challenge we've seen in terms of when we bring somebody in. Our team is always trying to be as proactive as we can, trying to find leads to maybe employees, family members, or relatives or friends who may have a rental or may have a house that's either for sale or going on the market. So before, we never really focused on that. We would hire people, and they would find their own housing, and they'd come to work. And I was on the phone earlier this week with somebody saying, we're going to bring in a physician to help us out here this winter and spring, and I'm concerned about the housing piece. We're trying to get a couple of leads now ahead of time, and those I think are going to work out. So it's just one more thing we've got to deal with up front in the recruitment and the hiring process that in the past we just never thought about.
Right. Well, and I've got to believe that's part of your success too, is I think, you know, it's probably not every employer that takes it upon themselves to try to help you get your housing if you're going to get a job there. And so I think that that probably helps as well. I mean, it's got to add something to the immediate sense of community that, you know, your employer will try to help you find housing.
Yeah, and I think you feel like there's times that if we don't, we could lose out on really good people that we want to join our team. So we're doing everything we can to recruit and retain the great staff that we have, and it's something we have to focus on every hour of every day now.
Yeah. I remember you told me, I forget when, but sometime in the last year or two, just that, you know, that the way that the medical field was going, it just was not going to sort of return to something. It was going into something new, and things were changing, and just what people can expect would be different. Do you still think that's true, or in what way has that become true, and maybe in what ways hasn't it?
Yeah, I definitely think that's true, and I think it's probably even getting more challenging. So there's really two things I would comment on here. I think the traditional model of healthcare that we've always maybe expected or relied on is going to change in the coming months and years. There's just no question. There's not enough workforce to support what was happening before. And so I think the hard decision in many communities are going to be, can we provide this service? We know it's important, but can we afford to provide it, and can we even staff it if we want to? So I think you're going to see more of a transformation back to kind of the core services, and then I think innovation has to play in. We've got to provide healthcare differently than we have in the past, because, I mean, from a financial standpoint, I mean, almost 7 out of 10 hospitals in the state are losing money. I mean, that mm-hmm. model can't continue. And when you read it, there's a lot of articles, but the reimbursement models are broken. If you look at Medicare and Medicaid across the state and country, there's no increased reimbursement, and our costs have skyrocketed. Mm-hmm. Cost of labor, insurance, supplies, electricity, everything has gone up. And a 1 or 2% margin in general, it just doesn't work. So I think you'll see that. The other thing I think you're going to see is, in terms of workforce, there are certain positions, at least right now, that we just simply cannot fill like we could in the past.
Mm-hmm.
We're really struggling for clinical assistance in our medical clinics. In the past, those were jobs people took and stayed in for quite some time, and it's really hard to find those. And I think the other one is certified nursing assistants in the hospitals sections. We have really good ones at Lakeview that have been here for many, many years, but we'll never be able to replace that kind of employee in terms of quality and dedication and work ethic. It's just, it's a different time. And so we're trying to figure out how can we deliver care differently if we just simply can't hire the people that we've needed in the past? And I think a perfect example, which doesn't apply to Lakeview, is EMS across the state. There's a couple of recent articles where there's thousands of openings across the state, and there's Nashua mm-hmm. can't staff an ambulance. And so there's another example. When you call an ambulance, I don't think one's just going to show up like it has in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just that trend is shifting.
Hmm. Makes me think of the book Outlive. I'm reading it, and it sort of describes medical, just the care, and backed by the philosophy as a 2.0, and then 3.0 medicine is coming in, and much more based on sort of prevention and, yeah, just sort of, getting to things before they happen, and rather than always being in reaction mode. And maybe that's one good thing that could emerge almost just from necessity, if there's not the same cargo nets that are constantly there, especially in settings like ours. Well, thank you so much, Greg. I have one quick question, one final question. We talked about infusions, and I'm wondering, I know I've heard recently about a shortage of blood blood drives. Are there blood drives coming up? Is there still a blood drive, a blood shortage?
Yeah, there is still a blood shortage in general. And I know, you know, it's interesting when I look back at 23 for Lakeview, we continue to give patients more and more blood each year. So our numbers were way up in 23. And I don't know what to make of that other than we're using a lot of blood during a time that there's a shortage. So, you know, we're always looking at ways to support blood drives. I don't know the dates of the upcoming ones, but there have been and there are blood drives in the community. So I would encourage people to take advantage of those, and it, you know, certainly can help save a life. And we're working with the blood bank in Duluth all the time about supply for us and making sure we have enough. And so we've had enough, but the shortage is there.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your candid and direct answers to all my questions, Greg. And hopefully we will have you on again in a few months. Thanks again.
That sounds great. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was Greg Ruberg. He's the CEO of Lakeview Clinic and Hospital.